Parshas Vayigash, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayigash, Toshin Samach Tes.
It is well known, the kasha that the Ramban asks in Parshas Miketz, Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Tes, where it says that the brothers did not recognize Yosef, and Yosef recognized them, and Yosef remembered all the dreams that he had dreamed back 22 years before this, and he therefore let it play out. Ramban says that the only way we can understand why Yosef was allowed to be mitzar, why he was allowed to inflict pain on his father and his brothers, was because he knew that what he had envisioned was a nevuah, was a prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he wanted Hashem's word to be fulfilled, and therefore he was allowed to not send a messenger, not inform his father that he is alive and well, not tell his brothers, I am Yosef, go bring your father down, because he knew the only way that this dream would be able to be fulfilled, where the brothers would bow down to him, and then ultimately his father would come down, was the only way was to do this sort of plan and behind the scenes and fool everyone, not that they wouldn't know, they would think he's just some tyrant who's making their lives miserable and cruel, and therefore he was allowed to do this. Otherwise, the Ramban says, Chet Gadol, Chot to Yosef. Otherwise, it would be a terrible sin that Yosef was doing by holding back this information from his father. But the Ramban asks a second question. That's very good for the first time, not disclosing himself and not telling them who he was, and therefore making them bring Yosef down, Yosef being the 11th brother, and therefore the 11th brother Binyamin. Binyamin had to come down also to be there to bow down to Yosef. But if he had all of them there, why the trick with the Becher, with the Gevia? Why did he put the cup into Binyamin's sack and then have to call them back, as we have in the end of the Parsha? Why call them back and again make them go through this again and make their lives miserable? At that point he was anyway then going to say, I need Yosef, now bring down your father. Why was he allowed to, says the Ramban, why is he allowed to put them through that again? This is Ramban's kasha. There is a famous kasha in this week's parsha. Perek Menvav, Pasuk Chavtes, where finally Yaakov does come down to Mitzrayim, sends Yehuda ahead, and the first time, the first meeting after 22 years between Yosef and Yaakov, Yosef, it says, Yayesi Yosef Merkavta, he himself got the wagon ready, Vayal Bikras Yisrael Aviv, Goishna, he went up to Goishin to visit his father, Vayarilo, Vayipal Al Tzavarov, Vayevchal Tzavarov Oid. It says that Yosef cried and hugged his father, but Yaakov did not respond like that. Says Rashi, why? Because Yaakov was saying Kriya Shema. And there's a very famous kasha that if it was time to say Kriya Shema, why wasn't Yosef saying Kriya Shema? And if it wasn't time to say Kriya Shema, what's Yaakov going to say Kriya Shema? There's many different interpretations to this. And we'll offer one interpretation based on a thought from Gedal Yeshua and the Ergadai Yo, and then we'll see how it ties into what the Ramban tells us about this question of his. There is a medrash based on the Pasuk in Iyov. The Pasuk in Iyov says like this, Loi shalavti, v'loi shakatati, v'loi nachti, v'yave roiges. This is referring to actually in the way the Medrash interprets it, something that Yaakov Avinu himself said. Lo shalavti, I did not have shalva. I did not have tranquility in my life. Lo shakatati, I did not have quietness in my life. Lo nachti, I did not have rest. And then then anger came upon me. Four stages of Yaakov Avinu's life. Says the Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah, Pei Dalad Gimel. His lo shalavti me Esav. I had no tranquility from my brother Esav, and all the years that I was spent in fear and running from him. V'loi shakatidi, I did not have peace, mi lovan, from all the years that he was with lovan. V'loi nachti, I did not have rest, even after that point, mi dina, from the whole story of Dina, being kidnapped by Shechem and then getting her back. V'yavei roiges, bo olai rogze shel Yosef. It came, the anger about the whole issue in the 22 years of Yosef being missing and unknown to Yaakov whether or not he was alive. That was Regis. This Medrash is sort of the longer version of what we know Rashi brings in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Bishalva. Yaakov finally, after the three first tsaros that he had in his life, wanted to take a little break. Kofzel of Rogez Hashal Yosef, the Rogez of Yosef. What does it mean? The anger? It was a period of anger, as if Kaviyachal Hashem was angry with Yaakov Avinu. Yosef HaTzadik is taken away from him. The years that Yosef HaTzadik was taken away from Yaakov, what happened? The Shechina was not with Yosef. The first three times, when he was dealing with Esav or Lavan or Dina, he had conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had Nevuah. But at this time, this last time with Yosef, the Shechina was nostalgic mimenu. It was as if Kaviyachal Hashem was angry with him. That's Reges. Reges is the meaning of Reges is anger. It's actually one of those words that Yiddishized into a similar word. When someone is upset with somebody else, he's Bereges. He's Bereges, which is Bereges, with anger. So here was Kaviyachal Hashem was Bereges with him. Hashem was angry with Yaakov Avinu. And that's symbolized by the Shechina being taken away. But there's another medrash on the same pasuk. The medrash in Shemais Rabba Chav Vav Aleph. Lo shalafti, I didn't have tranquility, Yaakov says, mi bavel. That's referring to Golas Bavel. V'lo shakati, I did not have calmness, mi modai. That's already the Persian exile. V'lo nachti, I did not have rest, mi yavan. That's from the Greeks, and Vayavi Reges came along, Reges, the final one, that is Galus Edom. So here Rav Shor says that you see that Yosef has a very direct connection to the Galus Edom. Because while the first tsaros of Yaakov Avinu is describing his life is Esav, Lavan, Dina, and then Yosef finally, so too go the Goliaths. Bavel, Mada, Yavan, and then finally Edom. So Reges, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with us, when it seems Hashem is very upset with us, he's Reges with us, that's Golas Edom. That's when Yosef is taken away from Yaakov. That's Yaakov's final tzara. That's his final suffering. And that's our final suffering, which is the Golas of Edom. And indeed, how did Golas Edom come about? The same way that the Tzara of Yosef came about. The whole story with Yosef and the selling of Yosef started by Yovei Yosef the Basim Royal Aviyam. Yosef Avinu started talking Lashon Hara against his brothers. And then it says that the brothers, Vayisnu Oisai, they hated him. So you have Lashon Hara, which turned into Sinas Chinam, turned into hatred amongst the brothers, amongst Jews, and from there he was sold down to Mitzrayim. That's how the issue with Yosef started. Yosef tells Lashon Hara, that causes Sinas Chinam from the brothers to Yosef, and ultimately he's sold down to Mitzrayim. The Kofzel of Reigzel Shal Yosef, the Reigez, the upsetness that Hashem has to Yaakov Avinu Kaviyachol, is started with Yosef and the conflict between him and his brothers. And that indeed, as we know from the Gemara in Yuma Daftez, that's how the Golas Edom starts also. The Beis Hamikdash, the Bayis Sheni is destroyed. Why? Because of Lashon Hara and because of Sinas Chinam. So here again you see the connection between Yosef in affecting the last suffering that Yaakov Avinu goes through, and the final suffering that Klal Yisrael goes through, in the Maisa of a similar banim, in the template that we had, that whatever happens to the Avos, so too is just a template for the generations to come. This is the Reges, the anger that Hashem is displaying towards Yaakov Avinu with separating Yosef, his beloved son, from him, and Kaviyachol showing that you're going to live in darkness now, because the Shechina is departed from Yaakov Avinu. All those 22 years when Yaakov is mourning over his son Yosef, unknowing if he's alive or not, the Shechina is away from him. Not so during the first three tzaras, during Esav, Lavan, and Dina. And the same is true with the Klal Yisrael. During the first Beis HaMikdash, Golas Bavel, even during Modai and Yavan, during the Beis Hamikdash, we had Nevuah in the first Beis Hamikdash. In the second Hamikdash, maybe we didn't have Nevuah, but we had Ruach HaKodesh. When we didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, we had at least a Bas Koil. There were ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow directly connected to Klal Yisrael, directly spoke to Klal Yisrael. Not so with Gelas Edayim. Gelas Edayim correlates to Yosef being taken away from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu has the Shechina taken away from him. And that's Golas Edom. We're in a situation of Reiges. When we're in a situation of Reiges, of anger, Hashem Kaviyakal is Reiges with us, he's upset with us, there's no more Shechina. There's no more Nevuah, there's no more Ruach HaKodesh. This essentially was Yaakov Avinu's Nisayim. And during the 22 years, we see how he passed this Nisayim tremendously. Chazal tell us there was one statement that Yaakov Avinu said Levatola. One time, he sort of slipped up. One time, he said a bad word. He said, Lomari Yosim. He says, why is this bad thing happening to me? That was the only one time in 22 years where Yaakov Avinu slipped up and he said something that he shouldn't have. Otherwise, for 22 years, even without the Shechina, even though he thought Hashem was angry with him, he didn't change an iota of the Avodas Hashem that he did. He stayed and he davened and he learned and he mitzvahs exactly the way he did beforehand, even though the Shechina had departed from him. This is the pshat, he says, is emes. Titan emes le'yakev. What's emes? Emes is that one doesn't change. And no matter what the situation is, when Hashem is with him, he's the same. When Hashem is not with him, he's the same. That's the Gemara in Brachos says, whoever doesn't say emes ve'yatsev in the morning, and emes ve'muna at night, has not fulfilled his obligation. It's explained, what does that mean? Emes v'yatsev ba'boker, you have to stay with emes even when it's the morning, when it's clear as day, and Hashem is shining himself at us. And if one has to say emes ve'emuna at night, even when it's dark as night, and only one can have emuna in Hashem, because he doesn't see Hashem. It's nighttime, but it's still emes. And that's what Yaakov Avinu did throughout the 22 years that Yosef was taken away from him. And this parsha, we focus a lot on Yosef. But the truth is, if we're looking at it from this perspective, from Yaakov Avinu's perspective, Yaakov Avinu went through this last and final golus for Yaakov Avinu. That his son was taken away from him. And now, at the end of that period, at the end of this final golus for Yaakov Avinu, he finds that there's this cruel king in some land in Egypt, who now takes one of his sons and locks him up in a prison. And now his last youngest son, Binyamin, they want to take him away too. And he doesn't want him to go. He doesn't want to let him go. And finally he has to relinquish his hold on him. He has to agree to send him. Yehuda will protect him. And who is this person? Who's making all these tzaris? Who's making all these problems for me? And finally, when Yaakov Avinu hears, Oid Yosef Chai, when he finally is told, "Oy Yosef Chai, your son is still alive," the pasuk says in our parasha Mem Hei Chav Zayin, "Vaydabroi Lovas Kol Devar Yosef." They proved this was actually Yosef, and then they showed him the wagons that Yosef sent. "Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avim," the spirit of Yaakov Avinu once again came alive. Says Rashi, "Shorasa Olav Shchina Shapir Shememenu." Now the Shchina came back. For Yaakov Avinu, this was Yaakov's geula. Yaakov had four Goliaths in his life. He had problems with Esav, with Lavan, with Dinah, and with Yosef. And this was the final geula for Yaakov Avinu was at this moment. And now Yaakov Avinu lives me'ein olam haba. As the Chazal tells us in Tana de Be'el Yod, the last 17 years of Yaakov Avinu's life was me'ein olam haba. It's the only time where it says Vayechi Yaakov is Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. Why? Because he was living the rest of his life, he lived with his son Yosef, so son Yosef, who now everything came back to make sense. Now he understood why this king is making them so crazy. Now he understood why this king was so cruel. This king actually was his son who loved him. This king was actually his ben zikunim. And he understood why this king had to be cruel and keep Shimon over there and bring Binyamin down and then make this whole trick to get Yaakov Avinu to come down to actually set up the geula for Yaakov Avinu. For Yaakov Avinu, this was his geula from this tzara. And that's why during the last golus of Yaakov Avinu, where the Shechina was not with him, now when he finally found out about Yosef and everything made sense, Now the Shekhinah came back to him. And that for him was his geula. And the last 17 years, while the first 130 was Ma'at V'Royim, as Yaakov Avinu tells Parai. They were tough years, but now the last 17 years, he lived Me'ein Olam Haba. That, says the Gedalia, is why Yaakov Avinu was saying Kriya Shema. What are we saying Kriya Shema? Shema Yisrael Hashem Aleikenu. Hashem, who sometimes is Aleikenu, sometimes the Midas Hadin, when we're able to see it finally, Hashem Echod, we see that Hashem and Aleikenu is really one. It's really not, it's not, it only looks like Midas Hadin, but it's really Midas Harachamim. So for Yaakov Avinu, who for him, now it was his Geula, this was his end of his problems of Yosef, of the Regas of Yosef. For him, he now says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Aleikenu, Hashem Echad. Like we'll say, V'hoi Hashem Lamel, Bayem Ahu Yiyah, Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad. We will see when Hashem will finally say, Ani Hashem, we will be able to look back and see everything made sense. And all of the cruelty that seems cruel is actually was Rachamim. And we'll be able to say, Hashem Aleikenu, Hashem Echad. Bayem Ahu, on that day, Yi Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. For Yaakov Avinu, for his life, that was the end of his four Golias. For him, it was Geula now. So he said Shema. For Yosef, it was just the opposite. For Yosef, it was now the start of Golus. The Maisi Omis Ovis Similabonim. For Yaakov, his life was ending of his Tzoris. For Yosef and the brothers and the Bnei Yisrael, they were actually starting. So Yosef didn't say Kriya Shema. For him, it wasn't a Geula. For him, the Golus was starting. So the final piece that we have to answer is the Ramban's Kasha, which we mentioned in the beginning from Parshas Miketz. Why was Yosef allowed to continue to plot against his brothers and make them think that they're in trouble? Well, really they were not. Why was he allowed to put his cup, his goblet into the sack of Yosef, of Binyamin, and then have to bring Binyamin back, and the brothers having to think, what's wrong again? Why was he allowed to do that, the Ramban says. The dream would have been fulfilled without it, says the Ramban, that Yosef had one more thing he had to make sure. Before Yaakov was to come down to Mitzrayim and be a final Geula, and before the Bnei Yisrael, the brothers were going to come to Mitzrayim, to indeed go to Golus, but then would emerge with the Geula, he had to make sure that there was achdus amongst them. He had to make sure that there was unity amongst them, and that all the hatred and all the jealousy that they had had 22 years before that against Yosef, he had to make sure they had done tshuva shleima for that. Because the start of this golus, which started with Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam, he had to make sure that was repaired already. How did he make sure it was repaired? He wanted to make sure that there was unity amongst the brothers, the sons of Leah, and that of the sons of Rachel, of Binyamin. And he had to make sure there was actually no fight between Binyamin, maybe suspecting that actually his brothers were the ones who plotted against his brother Yosef. And maybe Binyamin now had a conflict with the other brothers. So when he made this plot by putting the Becher into Binyamin's sack, he wanted to see, will they stick up for him? Will they be on his side? Will they do whatever it takes to stand up against this king for the sake of Binyamin? And when indeed he saw yes, when he saw that they were ready to do that, when he saw Yehuda ready to put himself on the line, when he saw all the brothers come back and says, we'll all be Avadim in place of Binyamin, then he saw there's no more fight between Binyamin and his brothers. Then he saw there's no more fight between Bnei Leah and Bnei Rachel. And now he says, now I could tell them, now I could finally say Ani Yosef. The truth is, as the Bat Kodesh Pravarsky, but Dave Pravarsky points out, it was 95% done. Because V'lo Yochel Yosef L'Hisapak, he couldn't hold back anymore. And the way he explains it is that really he should have held a little bit more and seen the brothers come to a full tshuva. And he couldn't do it. The Medrash says because Yehuda and the brothers another moment longer, since they didn't know what was happening, they would have destroyed the entire Mitzrayim. And therefore it says Yosef couldn't hold back anymore, and he had to say, Ani Yosef, don't destroy Mitzrayim, you'll see everything makes sense now. But there was something that was missing. And that something was missing was why Reb Pivarsky explains the Bat Kodesh, why at that moment Binyamin and Yosef fall on each other and they cry over the Beis HaMikdash. What are you crying over this Mikdash now? You're so happy, you're finally reuniting, you're happy. Because there was something missing. And that Sinas Chinam that the brothers had, which he thought were fully repaired, actually was missing. And that missing piece actually came up again in the times of the Bayis Sheni. And that missing piece of the brothers now came up at the Bayis Sheni, where there was still that leftover, that residual Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam, which actually caused the Golos Bayis Sheni, the Golos Adam, which was compared to Yosef's Golos when to Yaakov Avinu. And that's why they were crying. They saw it's not fully repaired because he couldn't hold back anymore, and he had to tell them perhaps a little bit early. But in the end of it all, that's what Yosef was trying to accomplish, says the Ramban. He was trying to accomplish that it should be this reuniting of Klal Yisrael, because when there's a reuniting of Klal Yisrael, then when they go into Golus, he knows that that's how they'll emerge from this Golus. That's how the Golus Edom started, with the sin of Skidim Lashon Hara. Now he wanted to make sure it was repaired, and all the brothers were once again together in harmony. And indeed, he did succeed for the most part. As we read, when the brothers finally came down, in Perek Memvav, when it says Yaakov Avinu came down with all the brothers, the Torah calls each one of the groups coming down, all the families coming down. B'nai Leah, B'nai Bilah, B'nai Zilpan, B'nai Rachel. It says each of them were Nafesh. And Rashi points out, it doesn't say Nefashais, there were many of them. It says Nafesh. Kol HaNefesh L'Beis Yaakov Abba Mitzrayma Shivim. All of the Nefesh, all of the soul that came down, were 70. It should have been Nefashais, says Rashi. By Esav we call them the Nefashais. There were five or six people in Esav, we call them Nafshais Beisai. There were many of them. By Klal Yisrael, since they're in unison, since they serve one Creator, they're Nefesh. They're one person. And that's what Yosef was trying to accomplish in all of these plans and making them crazy to make sure that they indeed did come to this Tshuva Shleima. Perhaps there was still one piece missing, and that came back to haunt us later in the Bayis Sheni. But essentially he saw that Klal Yisrael could be one Nefesh. And they came down to Mitzrayim, Shivim Nefesh, as one group, as one body, as the Shivim, but one soul, one Nefesh. And this is what Yosef was trying to accomplish, which indeed he did.